You're listening to Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton. Dr. Michael Roseman is a clinical psychologist who is also a fourth-generation farmer. He writes about behavioral health issues for several publications, including The Farmer's Forum, Farm and Ranch Life, and The Iowa Farmer Today. He's with us today from his farm home outside Harlan, Iowa. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Roseman.
Well, thank you for asking me to participate.
How are the people in your part of Iowa doing with the COVID-19 outbreak?
Iowa, like nearly all places in our country, is ramping up the number of coronavirus cases. I believe we have nearly 900 cases and 22 deaths in our state at this time. I think the Midwest has been a little slower than some of the more urbanized areas of the country, especially the Midwest rural areas. But that doesn't mean we're out of the woods. I think it means that our peak will be slower in coming.
You're a fourth-generation farmer and a clinical psychologist. Describe your farm operation.
Well, the farm operation now is that I rent out the row crop land, but I continue to manage our conservation reserve program land and filter strips. I'm 73 and just recovering now from a coronary bypass surgery, so I am not very able to actually undertake the hard physical work of farming. So I'm limited to gardening and hopping around the farm just to check on things and mostly to confer with other people who are farmers and ranchers and struggling with many issues. I get anywhere from 3 to 12 calls or emails per week from farmers and ranchers looking for some form of consultation, ideas, and advice.
So you're still a practicing clinical psychologist, and farmers and ranchers are communicating you via email? Is that typically how you get a request?
Most of the requests come by email, Doug, but I do get quite a few phone calls, too. Often I set up telephone consultations with persons after they contact me by email. I have had, I would say, an increase in calls, especially now that I indicated I am physically able to handle stress again and to talk with people. So that has opened up my availability to people. I feel really good about that because farm and ranch people tell me that it helps them to learn what to do in a stressful time. But of course, we deal with their very personal issues, and I do not bill for any of my services. I just do this because it needs to be done. If I get paid, it's because of speaking or engagements or workshops that I give around the country.
Well, it's been no secret that for several years, the farm economy over much of the country has been under severe stress. The pandemic only adds to that. Why do farmers typically reach out to you for help?
I think they reach out to me because they know I'm a farmer and I understand farming. I think I'm a better psychologist because I'm a farmer. But I also know that when I was farming, I was a better farmer because I was a psychologist. I find that understanding agriculture is important when serving the mental health and behavioral health needs of farm people. They feel more comfortable. They feel more like they are understood because I have some idea of the rigors of farming. I also know from just what you said that coronavirus has definitely made farming much harder. Our markets completely fell apart over the past 3 months. There's hardly a bright spot in agriculture here in the Midwest right now. So I think the need for assistance has increased. I know you have wonderful resources in your state at North Dakota State University. Through the extension there, And I encourage people to contact the extension, but also to contact mental health providers through the rural health clinics or providers who are licensed and offer their services either through a healthcare agency or through their own personal endeavors.
You know, there's sort of an archetype of the farmer personality, at least from my perspective. I'm not a farmer, never have been, but we think of farmers as resilient and independent. Is that an obstacle to asking for help?
It is, Doug. Farmers have been encouraged to be independent for multiple generations. They had to have a capacity to farm alone in bygone eras when they were out in the field by themselves. Only during the past 30 years or so have farmers become much more social and engaged in regular communications. That has become possible because of cellular telephones and smartphones and contacts online with various entities, markets, parts stores, family members. Farmers have always been capable of tolerating great adversity. It had survival value for our ancestors to be able to tolerate adversity and to depend on their own judgment. Now, these very traits that made us successful as farmers can sometimes put us in a dangerous position because we're reluctant to reach out. We're scared that it might reveal a personal failing. We feel like it's our own fault rather than that the conditions presently are making us overly stressed.
Dr. Michael Roseman is a clinical psychologist. He's joining us from his home in Harlan, Iowa. And Mike, you and I are about the same age, and there have been farm crises in the past. And eventually, farmers, like anybody else, hits a wall. And I know that farm suicides are up generally pretty much everywhere that people are farming these days. How does the current set of circumstances compare to the past farm crises you've seen?
Well, I went through the farm crisis of the 1980s, as you did, Doug. I think we had fewer resources to rely on then. We did not have federal crop insurance in the 1980s. We were enduring much higher interest rates on farm loans, whether they were long-term loans and investments or whether they were annual input loans. Now, we have different kinds of stresses. We have stresses of finding how we can compete in the marketplace. In the past, we took our grain to markets, to the best market, and generally we were treated fairly. Now we have to forward contract, manage our farm operations often by employing the services of a broker or someone who has expertise in agribusiness. Farming has become much more reliant on input from many people, agronomists, animal nutritionists, veterinarians, who regularly come to the farm and do whole herd assessments and consultation. So we're seeing farming becoming an occupation for which we were not necessarily prepared by previous generations. We are learning how now to form teams of resources, good advisors, and we're learning how to ask for help and how to talk about our personal circumstances. It's amazing to me how many people now talk about mental health when they have coffee together. I know a number of farm men in my local area who get together every Monday morning, and somebody brings in an article about farm stress or managing mental health that they pulled out of a farm magazine or something that they heard about on TV or radio, and they talk about it, their behavioral health coping, much like they do about diabetes or heart conditions. We wouldn't have dared to venture into that arena in times past, but it has become acceptable to show emotions, to show physical warmth in the form of man hugs and talking openly about weaknesses. Actually talking about weaknesses and our mental health is a strength, not a sign of failure.
You have been described as a leader of national efforts to fund health care for uninsured and underinsured farm and ranch families and the workers that sustain this economy. I'm thinking there have been ICE raids, for example, in Iowa. There are undocumented workers who work on farms around the country, and I'm sure in Iowa as well. How does this pandemic reflect through the greater society of Iowa when you're talking about a number of people who are probably fearful of seeking help?
Well, that is true, and it has become a problem that must be addressed because there's a shortage of capable seasonal workers to undertake detasseling, or people who work in cattle feedlots, dairies, even in the packing plant industries. The majority of people who come here from our southern borders are persons who are legally here because they have green cards and jobs, but there is a portion of persons who are here without documentation, and they are very scared. But farmers are, this year, we're having a hard time securing an adequate labor force. The farm workers who come generally of Latino, Latina backgrounds, they're very good workers. One worker can outdo the efforts of three high school teens. They could certainly outdo me. So that is one of the problems of the coronavirus outbreak. But the main problems are more than just a labor shortage. They are our uncertain prices. We don't know what kind of relations we have with Europe, China, and other importers. We're needing heavily to rely on farm programs to supplement the income. That doesn't bode well with farmers who want to be paid for their work and not be paid by the government.
And how reliant are farmers right now on government payments?
Quite reliant. We know that without the supplements, many people would be underwater. It's not clear exactly what kind of markets we're going to have this year. It'll take a long time for cattle markets, for pork, for grains, wheat, corn, barley, and oil seeds to improve. We're facing a very serious time in which it's imperative that we take care of ourselves, our mental health, so that we can make sound decisions and be ready when times change. But we don't know when they're going to change and how that all will play out. So if there's any key word, it is uncertainty.
With farmers looking at the costs of inputs and they're looking at their budgets, is insurance one of those things that is low-hanging fruit that might be, in a time of a tight economy for the farmer, be something that they're not paying for, health insurance?
Yes. Insurance for crops, as well as having access to health care by persons who understand the rigors of farming and ranching. It is especially important that they understand the psychological aspects of farmers and ranchers. But I would say that the new farm bill has a farm and ranch stress assistance network provision in it. It is being implemented. There are four centers. The Midwest region, which covers North Dakota, is operated through an award of funds to Iowa State University. North Dakota State has been working closely with Iowa State to develop telephone hotlines to establish local services that will pay for out-of-pocket costs for mental health assistance or any kind of behavioral health assistance. So it is a benefit to have the Farm and Ranch Stress Assistance Network. It's not enough. It's $10 million for each of 5 years. We're in our second year.
What is working to cope with farm and ranch behavioral health issues? You mentioned hotlines. You mentioned University Extension services that are perhaps providing that hotline support. What happens when somebody calls a hotline?
Typically, a farmer-friendly hotline exists in our Midwestern states. For instance, South Dakota has one operated through Avera McKinnon Health Services. Iowa has the Iowa Concern Hotline. Nebraska has the Nebraska Rural Response Helpline. As they are getting set up, they will be manned by staff who understand agriculture but also have some training in behavioral health care. So a caller who contacts the hotline will have access to assistance that is tailored to their particular needs on the farm or ranch. That is key to improving the outreach to farm and ranch people. There is a lot of training going on with all the staff and personnel in the farm service agencies to better understand behavioral health issues and what to look for in distressed persons who contact the FSA or the NRCS offices and the extension. We're building a support network that is partly funded, at least initially, through the federal government, but does require state inputs and, let's say, matching assistance. And it also helps to have churches and farmer organizations contribute to the Farm and Ranch Stress Assistance Programs in the respective states. And you have a good program at North Dakota State University by contacting the extension there.
How about the importance of neighbors?
That's exactly right, Doug. We have to not only look out for ourselves, but to look out for our neighbors, because we often know who is distressed, and they may have even approached us to talk about their troubled times. Anything helps us, it is to reach out to others to help them. We often get personal satisfaction out of assisting others. So it is important for farm men and women to pay attention to who is around them, and especially during this time of social isolation, to call up neighbors and say, hey, how's it going? What's happening in your house? What are you doing to deal with coronavirus? Is there anything that I can do, like picking up some groceries or medications when I go into town? Or maybe, do you have a mask, or can I make you one? All of those gestures, critical now to the survival of the agricultural community.
Dr. Michael Roseman is a clinical psychologist, and he lives on a farm outside Harlan, Iowa. Thank you for joining us today.
And thank you for asking me.